When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So I'll just pray before Jasmine comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are just awesome and powerful. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that is powerful and true. We ask, Lord, that you'll still our minds, help us to just to concentrate on your word that's being brought through Jasmine to us here. We thank you for what we've learnt today, and we ask that as we travel home and as we reflect on what we've learnt, you'll help us to recall and retain all the things that we've learnt so that we can become more like your son, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, I hope my voice holds out. This final talk is actually going to be a little different. I've invited the woman from our final passage in Luke 7 to share her encounter. "I am a sinner, and I live a sinful life. I'm known here as a sinner. And in a community like this, there's nowhere to hide. Everyone knows everything about everyone else. And everyone knows me. I'm the sinner, the town sinner, the woman known in this community who lives a sinful life. I see it in your eyes as soon as I walk out my front door. I hear it in your not so quiet whispers by the well every morning and every evening. Feel it when you pull your children away from me as if I were unclean. And I know it when some of you so arrogantly refuse to sell or buy from me at the market. Yes, I am a sinner. And I'm reminded and declared a sinner every Sabbath when I'm refused entry into the local synagogue. Not even into the outer court so I can pray or to give my tithes. Oh no, Simon, our local Pharisee in town, loves to stand at the entrance and pray aloud, giving thanks to God for all the things that he and the other righteous people in town don't do, listing out all the things that I do. Yes, I do all those things. I know I'm a sinner. And yes, it means I'm damned to hell. Well, since I'm damned to hell, I may as well try to enjoy life as much as I can for as long as I can while I live on this earth. So yeah, I work on the Sabbath, and I've eaten pork. Oh, I'm a Jew. I know what I'm doing. God's surely not interested in the likes of me anyways. So I'm going to live life my way. After all, I am a sinner. But all that changed once I met him. I noticed recently that everyone wasn't talking about me, but about someone else. Someone who, well, we're not quite sure, but he seems to be this new religious teacher who's from Galilee. But apparently, he can do miracles and wonders. He heals, exorcises demons, and apparently he teaches and speaks differently from all our other teachers. So there's even talk that he could be a prophet, maybe even Elijah. Well, we kept hearing reports from other places he's been to, most recently to Capernaum and Nain. News about him is spreading everywhere throughout Judea and the surrounding area. But the most recent report is that he's a glutton and a drunkard. Because apparently he's a friend of those traitorous tax collectors. And that he hangs out with sinners. Yeah, right. Like any self-respecting teacher would knowingly hang out with sinners and tax collectors, right? Well, there's no need to speculate anymore about who he is. Because he came here. He came into our town. And just like the earliest reports, he healed the sick and the lame in our town. Johnny, I've known him all my life. He was born with crooked legs. But more than that, I heard him speak. He spoke with such authority when he told people not to judge and condemn. Oh, I so wish Simon the Pharisee was there when he said that some of our leaders are like blind men leading the blind. But he also talked about trees and fruit and how you can tell a good tree from a bad tree by its fruit. But really, what he was saying was, the things that I say aloud, and even the things that I say in here about some of the nasty people in this community, well, it actually shows that I have a nasty heart and how, well, that's wrong too. And love my enemies? Enemies? Really? I can't even stand some members of my own family sometimes. And he made me see that all my good deeds, being nice to my friends, well, that's no big deal. Doing what is easy, lending money to those who I know can pay me back, liking those who like me back, well, really, that all counts for nothing. But how could he know so much about me? I feel like he knows all about me and about my life, and that he's talking about me in front of everyone. I just wanted to run away and hide, but I couldn't. I wanted to hear more. And although what he says that we should do seems impossible, and he harshly warned us, woe, 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 I don't feel judged by him. Not like I am by everyone else in this community. I saw passion in his eyes, and oh boy, he could get fired up sometimes, especially when he's having a go at them Pharisees. But I also saw compassion. I felt that he not only knows me, but that he understands. And really, could I become someone, like he says, who is blessed by God? Could what he is saying be true? The kingdom of God is available to me? Me? Someone like me, a sinner, someone who lies and gossips, cheats on her taxes, someone who bends all the rules for my own advantage, live my life my way, not God's way. Could it be true that if I repent and return to God, God would forgive me? God would forgive me? God would forgive me? He would forgive me. He would forgive me. He forgives me. I need to thank him. I need to tell him I thank him. I need to see him and tell him, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me all that I've done. I want to do something for him, just to show him how much I thank him. I have this alabaster jar of perfume. It costs about how much someone earns in a year. But you know what? He must be so tired from all his walking around, healing people, talking so much. I can anoint his head and face with it, like they do for the rich and the nobles, for refreshment. He's having dinner at Simon the Pharisee's house. That's on the other side of town. That's what I'll do. I'll go there and anoint him. I know Simon has invited a lot of people to this dinner party, so I'll be in the open courtyard. Everyone else who's not invited to eat are still welcome to sit in on the religious discussions that they have during these meals. Anyone is allowed to freely come and go as they please. I know lots of people whom I'd rather avoid from town who are going to be there, but you know what? I don't care. I don't care that they know I'm a sinner. I don't care that they'll glare at me and whisper about me when I turn up. I don't care anymore because he won't care. He doesn't care. He's forgiven me, and I just want to go, and I just want to anoint his head and face and say, thank you. Well, at least that's what I thought I would do until I got there. Well, of course, Simon would hold a Roman-style dinner party. So that means all his guests are reclining on their left side on low couches in a big U-shape around tables. So what you do is you have your head towards the table so you can pick at the food with your right hand, and you've got your feet sticking outwards. Well, that makes it a bit tricky for me to anoint Jesus' head. I mean, I can't just go and thrust myself into the middle of the dinner party. So I go instead to his feet. As I stood there at his feet, I saw him look at me with such love and compassion in his eyes, and I am just overwhelmed with my emotions. So much for keeping myself together and not making a fool of myself in front of everyone. Because I just break down and start weeping. And I'm weeping so much that I can't wipe the tears that are streaming down my face fast enough. So my tears are just falling down my face. They're getting on his feet, and I'm getting his feet all wet. I didn't mean to do that. And so I squat down and wipe my tears off his feet. And I take my hair, wiping. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. But thank you. And I just start kissing his feet. There are not words enough to express how I feel. Thank you, Lord. I can't anoint your head, Lord, but here, I'll anoint your feet with this perfume. I'm only worthy of touching your feet anyway. It didn't take a fool to realize that the whole room had gone completely quiet at this point, and I could feel everyone staring at me, even the servants. And no prizes for guessing what Simon's thinking. He's probably thinking, I'm ruining his dinner party. He's probably thinking, oh, I don't know what he's thinking. I'm not a prophet. But then I heard Jesus speak. Simon, I have something to say to you. Huh? Did Simon say something? Did I miss it? Because Jesus talks to him like he's responding and answering something Simon has just said. But anyways, Simon responds and Jesus tells a story. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. What? A moneylender cancelling debts? They're in the business of charging extra fees and interest on debts, not cancelling them. Now, which of them will love him more? Huh. Which of them will love him more? Well, one owes 10 times as much as the other, but at the end of the day, they're in the same position. They're both stuffed because they can't pay him back. It's off to debtor's prison they go, which is like hell on earth. And worse, if your family gets sold off as slaves to help pay the debt, then you have no one to visit to bring you food. And Lord have mercy if you fall sick in debtor's prison, which nearly everyone does. Basically, it's a death sentence. Which of them will love him more? Love. I heard Simon's reply. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Jesus moved on his couch and turned towards me, but he kept talking to Simon. Do you see this woman? Does Simon see me? Oh, I think he can see me all right, but I don't think he understands. I don't think he understands why I'm crying and kissing your feet and anointing you with this perfume, Lord. Jesus went on to say, I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. What? It's common courtesy to provide water for your guests' feet. I mean, no one's asking Simon to wash the guests' feet. Just give the water. Let the servants do it. He's clearly got plenty around serving food and everything. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. Simon didn't give Jesus a kiss. Usually if you're equals, you give each other a kiss on the cheeks, you know? Mwah, mwah, mwah. An inferior person would give someone who's superior to them a kiss on the hand. You notice the progression. Cheeks, hands, feet. So like I said, I'm unworthy and only worthy to kiss you on your feet, Lord. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Well, no one would expect Simon to anoint his guests with oil. That's reserved only for, you know, your very, very honoured guests. Something you'd offer to the nobles, especially if you want to do them a favour so that they'll do one back for you. So really, Simon wasn't really required to do all those things you pointed out to him, Lord. But the way you contrasted it with what I did, you make it sound as if what I did exceeded what Simon could be expected to do. You make it sound so over the top, so excessive, so extravagant. But how could I not respond to you except with these actions, Lord? Therefore I tell you, Jesus concluded saying to Simon, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Yes. You understand, Lord. You understand why I'm doing all this. My actions It's because I've been forgiven. God has forgiven me. How can I respond but with love? Yes, with love. Just like in your story, Lord. I'm a debtor. I was doomed to hell. But you've cancelled it. You've cancelled my debts. You've forgiven my sins. There are no smaller sinful lives or 10 times bigger sinful ones, just simply sinners with debts that could never be repaid. Sinners like me. Then I heard him say to me, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The sweetest words I've ever heard and could ever hear. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Oh, I trust all you've said, Jesus. I trusted your words even as they were coming out of my mouth. I trust you, Lord. Go in peace. I have never felt such peace before. No more feelings of guilt or shame or condemnation. I felt free that evening as I left Simon's house. I felt like a reset button had been pressed on my life and I get to start again with you, Lord. Oh, I could never forget that day. Just as I could never forget another day, 2 years later, when I saw you bleeding and dying on a cross in Jerusalem. "Father, forgive them," I heard you painfully cry, "for they know not what they are doing." How could you forgive when such injustice was being done against you, Lord? You shouldn't be hanging there. They should. Those people who say one thing and do another. Those people who think just because they go to church every week they're fine, but lie and cheat. People who live their lives their own way and not your way. People who are like me, like I was before I met you. You died for sinners. Sinners like me. That death belonged to me. You died the death that I deserved. Thank you for forgiving me, Lord Jesus, because I am a sinner. No, I was a sinner. But I trust in your forgiveness, Lord Jesus, the forgiveness that only God can give. I pray, Lord Jesus, that I would never forget how enormous and how amazing your forgiveness is. The forgiveness you not only spoke about with your words, but the forgiveness you won for me by dying on the cross in my place. I pray that my response of love will be as extravagant, as excessive, and as over the top as the first day I realized I was saved. And when this love grows a little dim and fades a little over time, Lord, remind me once again that I was once a doomed sinner with no chance of ever repaying you. But now I'm free. Free to love you. Love you extravagantly once again. You might like to spend a few moments to respond to what you've just heard. Perhaps there's something you'd like to speak to God about. So how about give everyone about 5 to 10 minutes? There are also some reflection questions, I think, if you turn the page in your booklet. If you would like some help and guidance in what to reflect. But otherwise, feel free to pray, to speak to God. About anything you've heard. And so then after that time is over, the musicians will come and lead us in a song.